News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Israeli forces enter the heart of southern Gaza's largest city, Khan Yunis, following a night of heavy airstrikes. Meantime, calls continue for Hamas to release its remaining Israeli hostages. CBS's Chris Livesay in Jerusalem.
Hostages' families demanding Israel resume negotiations immediately.
I don't know that the cabinet needed to have a flame lit under them to get these hostages out.
Israelis are also lighting a flame under the international community after women's advocates flooded the UN over accusations that Hamas has used rape as a weapon of war.
Also, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said today that the military would have to retain open-ended security control over the Gaza Strip long after the war against Hamas ends. In a bulletin reviewed by CBS News, feds warned law enforcement nationwide that terror groups will likely use the war in Gaza to call for U.S. violence this holiday season. FBI Director Christopher Wray tells lawmakers on Capitol Hill,
given the steady drumbeat of calls for attacks by foreign terrorist organizations since October 7th, we're working around the clock to identify and disrupt potential attacks.
The Senate unanimously approves more than 420 military promotions that had been held up for 10 months by a single lawmaker. CBS's Allison Keyes reports.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says now,
hundreds of military families across the country can breathe a sigh of relief.
Alabama Republican Tommy Tuberville had been blocking more than 400 military promotions over a Pentagon abortion policy. He ended his opposition to all but 11 after other lawmakers said he was hurting military families, but says he has no regrets. The White House says it is glad that the officers can now move on with their lives. Allison Keyes, CBS News.
President Biden says if an opponent of his was not in the 2024 race, he may not be running himself. More from CBS's Matt Piper.
President Biden said he's not sure he would be running for re-election if former President Trump were not also running. But we cannot let him win, he said at the Boston fundraiser. No cameras or microphones were allowed inside the event, but those traveling with the president were able to report on his comments. In 2019, Mr. Biden said he was running then because of Trump's reaction to white supremacists' 2017 march in Charlottesville, where Trump said there were very fine people on both sides. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Union actors have voted to ratify a three-year contract deal with Hollywood studios that ended their nearly four-month-long strike. The 78% approval from the members of SAG-AFTRA was no certainty, with some prominent members voicing dissent on the deal. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy overnight with a low of 24. Winds out of the west around 5 miles per hour. 37 tomorrow, overcast. Tomorrow night, lows around 28. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. I got you here. You, Dom.
Yeah, Crudy.
With me in the Mad Radio 92.7 FM studios, the Solidarity Realty Studios. How you doing, buddy?
Awesome, Crudy. Good to be with you in studio. Always more fun together. Nate, great to see you as well. Thank you. And our fair audience, happy Tuesday to us all. Big show today.
Told the wife, Dom's in town.
Uh-oh.
Might be a late night.
I'll be home next year.
I'll be home, you know, before the weekend. Before the weekend, Dom, the politicking and... We do the politicking mostly around here. We got a fine politician joining us a little bit later in the big show, right? Right. We got our friend Melissa Agar
coming
in the 5 o'clock hour. Also, local journalist of some national renown, John Nichols.
Yeah.
And he apparently inspired the false flag operation of January 6th.
Yes, it's all John's fault.
And you might think we're kidding right now. But this accusation has been leveled against our pal, John Nichols. We had to verify he wasn't on this show. He has been accused of what? Inspiring? What'd he do, Dom?
Apparently, according to the Washington Post, has a piece out defending his 2020 fraud claims, Trump turns to fringe January 6th theories. And in this article, they reference...
Amongst the theories being cited...
They talk about the fence cutter bulwark and scaffold commander, nicknames given by conspiracy theorists to people they claim are government agents who instigated the January 6th. Also, all documents they want regarding Ray Epps, who they falsely accused of being an undercover operative, and John Nichols, a liberal journalist in Wisconsin, who right-wing media have suggested encouraged violence at the Capitol on behalf of the quote-unquote deep state. John! That is so not what John did. I mean, we have John. We have him on record.
We have teased John for perhaps not seeing the ferocity of the attacks that were coming on January 6th, you know, maybe downplaying in before it happened, didn't know what was coming.
Right. This was in December prior to it happening.
But so almost a month earlier. Prior, he appeared on the greatest radio show ever.
And said, nah.
Had a completely differing attitude.
They're going to go home and shovel the snow and put their, hats back on. Tinfoil hats back on.
Well, Dom, the man's name has been invoked by the Washington Post. So we're going to have our friend and journalist, John Nichols, on
Excellent.
This great show.
Can't wait. 5:30.
From the Nation, from the Cap Times locally. 5:30. Got to stick around for that. Dom, I've quizzed you a few times in this life. What's the worst that could happen?
You see? What's the worst that could happen? I'm not worried.
We were on the cusp of worst that could have happened at Oktoberfest that night you locked me out of the hotel room in La Crosse, Dom. But
something about that town, man.
Somehow I walked it. Just back from arrest. But Dom, I'm talking about the Nation more broadly. What's the worst that could happen? You know, I've asked that question of you a few times. And there's been some articles recently. Well, dictatorship, of course.
Yeah, lots of articles. The Atlantic, lots of national news organizations sounding the alarm on what could happen with a second Trump presidency.
2025 project. They're looking to purge all the good bureaucrats, replace them with Trump loyalists. Lots of bad stuff could happen if Donald Trump won re-election. Kind of scary. But
you're scared, bro?
I'm not scared. I'm going to take a differing tack today.
Today.
Today, I feel a little different.
All right.
And here's why. little piece over at the Washington Post. This one not accusatory towards John Nichols.
Thank you, Greg Sargent.
An opinion piece. Enough with all the fatalism about a Trump dictatorship. Because, Don, the only thing we have to fear is Trump himself.
Is that it?
Maybe.
You tell that to the police officers at the Capitol on January 6th.
Let me read a little bit here.
You know what I mean, man?
Are you afraid of a Donald Trump dictatorship? Well, know this. The only thing you have to fear is tyrannous Trumpus itself. There was an article over at the Post. They, you know, made allusions to. Anyways, by now, it's hard to deny that Trump has a narrow but plausible path to authoritarian rule in the United States. Is that the encouraging news, Crudy? A little bit more. Polls show he could well win next year's election. Trump allies are openly developing an elaborate blueprint to transform a second term into a full-blown autocracy. Prominent columnists have demonstrated in great detail how it might succeed. But certain versions of this argument have grown seriously problematic. It's sometimes said that our institutions and civic culture have withered so much that resistance to Trumpian tyranny would be incapacitated, rendering an onset all but inevitable. Apparently, Greg Sargent, not a believer. Such a reading of the moment risks leading us astray, Dom. It fails to account for much of the good that transpired during the Trump years, from which there is plenty to learn.
Everything's a lesson, Michael.
That which does not kill us makes us stronger. I read on. Undue fatalism could even prove counterproductive, de-energizing voter opposition exactly when Trump is brazenly projecting his dictatorial intentions. No question, extreme pessimism is understanding, and I'm looking at you, Salvia, glass half empty. Trump faces multiple criminal indictments, including for allegedly attempting to destroy free and fair elections in the United States. Well, that minor detail.
It's not really a big deal.
Dom, he and his allies are vowing to stock the government with loyalists. I like loyalists. Who would trample legal constraints, arrest political opponents. Unfortunately, we might be in that column. Without cause, and persecute the vermin voters who resist him. Yet even as all this unfolds in plain sight, Trump's grip on the GOP primary voters has tightened. And he continues to run strong against President Biden. Surely this means, as some have argued, that the great mass of voters are prepared to roll over and succumb to nepotism, right?
No, it doesn't, Crudy. The polls are certainly disconcerting, Greg Sargent from the Washington Post writes. But let's not draw premature conclusions from them about the electorate's civic health or its attunement to the threat of democracy Trump poses. This might be easy to overlook amid Trump's daily degradations, but the Trump years offer at least some cause for optimism. When Trump executed his 2017 ban on many Muslims entering the country, crowds descended on airports in a surprising outpouring of support. A year later, historians Laura Putnam and Theda Skocpol documented an unexpected groundswell of painstaking political organizing among formerly apathetic middle-aged women to defend democracy, fueling Democrats' 2018 midterm blowout. During the 2020 election season, despite outbreaks of street violence, most voters saw protests against police brutality as peaceful, legitimate political activity, rejecting Trump's effort to smear them in threatening terms. In the 2022 midterms, many prominent GOP election deniers lost, and fears for democracy were a key motivator for voters. It remains underappreciated, but our national response to anti-democratic menace of the Trump years has, in some respects, been surprisingly good, not just electorally, but also institutionally. Trump's gaming of the judicial system, easy for me to say.
Judicial system.
To overturn his 2020 loss hit a wall in the courts. By a wide bipartisan margin, Congress passed reforms to Trump-proof the system by which we count electoral votes. Trump's indictment Trump's incitement of a violent coup attempt inspired the Democrat-led hearings investigating the January 6th attack, the most riveting public case mounted by a governing body in at least a generation. Election officials, Republican lawmakers, and even former advisors to Trump testified with extraordinary courage, surely turning many voters against election deniers in 2022. Fears that the Justice Department could refrain from prosecuting Trump and his co-conspirators amid more intimidation of mob violence proved unfounded. Please don't read this as naive. Yes, Trump can win, but the polls likely reflect voter disengagement long before Election Day, and alarmist obsessing over them risk distracting us from a deeper cause of our crisis. I concur with that. As Jamel Bouie details from the New York Times, a Trump restoration might be facilitated by the Electoral College and the Supreme Court's gutting of voting rights, which help electoral minorities hostile to democracy, such as the MAGA movement, seize power beyond their numbers. In short, if Trump has a path to autocracy in the United States, it probably would run through the counter-majoritarian features of our system, at least as much as through the alleged voter apathy about democracy. Yet all the hand-wringing about the autocratic threat rarely involves discussions of majoritarian reform. The case for panic also rests on reports that Trump allies are aggressively preparing to purge the government of the sort of weak-kneed officials who internally resisted Trump's designs last time. In a second term, some worry, Trump jumped on me.
You know what, Dom?
Yes.
Maybe you should hold this thought.
Hold the thought.
Because we're going to sneak up on a little breaky break here, which, you know, we don't talk about breaky breaks on Fight Club, but here's the point. I want this to sink in a little bit. We're going to have to revisit a few of these thoughts. But as I understand what's being propositioned here by Greg Sargent, this opinion piece from The Post, there's nothing to fear because democracy will hold. And democracy means like the citizenry, not the institutions per se. But if people think, and I'm not counting myself amongst them, I'm feeling somewhat cautiously optimistic.
Today, you are.
Today.
Today.
Well, it's always subject to mood, like my net worth. Yeah. But today, I'm feeling cautiously optimistic, Tom, because these voters, these people, they're democracy. We, the people, are the democracy, Tom. And what all this assumes is people are just going to become lethargic and say, oh, it's hard. This democracy thing is hard. But it's not so hard that we're going to roll over and play dead and let Trump be our dictator. I don't believe it for a minute. Have no fear. Devil's advocates are here. Come back with us. Phone calls. They're appreciated. 844-96-PARTY.
What if your next breath is your last breath? Jesus said that no one is good except God alone. Paul wrote that no one is righteous, not even one. Isaiah says we all, like sheep, have gone astray. At First Baptist Church of Wisconsin Rapids, we believe there is hope of life after death in Christ alone. Historic faith, prayer, fellowship, virtue, the preaching of the word. Visit firstbaptistwr.com.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The Devil's Advocates. Because freedom.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always be a part of this fine program. Just simply call 844-967-2789.
Dominic, incorporating an opinion piece Greg Sargent, Washington Post. It's got me feeling cautiously optimistic. The guardrails of democracy will hold against the dictatorial tendencies of the former, the guy that would like to be the next president. Well, here's
why. We'll see. We'll see.
Here's why the glass today is half full, Dom. I again read from the body of the Washington Post piece, Greg Sargent. All that scheming does demand vigilance, but its prospects depend on the prosecutions of Trump and his coup co-conspirators not succeeding. If they do succeed, all the Trumpian bluster about staffing up with lawyers to execute an illegal second-term agenda might quickly evaporate. That success is far from guaranteed, but so far the prosecutions have demonstrated unexpected institutional fortitude. Let's not write them out of the story just yet, Dom. The impulse to sound alarms, to break voters out of their "it can't happen here" doldrums is understandable. But it's also possible to take this too far. And here, it's worth registering an irony. Ruth Ben-Gayat, a scholar of strongman rule, has noted that the time-tested tactic of authoritarian leaders is to disarm the electorate by suggesting their glorious triumph is inevitable. Greatest radio show ever. Greatest radio show ever. I continue. Authoritarians, this is a quote, Tom. Authoritarians create a climate where they seem unstoppable. Creating an aura of destiny around their leader galvanizes his supporters by making his movement seem much stronger than it actually is. The manipulation of perception is everything. Greatest crowds ever, right?
I mean, totally. That's what he does.
The aim is to hypnotize voters into forgetting the power and numbers that they possess, persuading them that politics is hopelessly sordid and disappointing exercise. But that is not the story of the Trump years. The purpose of this isn't to downplay the gravity of the moment. It is to channel anxieties about it in a constructive direction. As Brian Butler writes on Substack, glad Greg Sargent went there. I don't usually go to Substack, Tom. Excessive public worries about Trump's supposed inevitability bury the all-important truth that popular majorities have regularly, emphatically rejected Trump and all he represents, potentially making the convictions of anti-Trump movement look feeble in the eyes of swing voters. No more indulging in paralyzing, fatalistic nightmares. We need a spirit of guarded and vigilant confidence, one that is fully aware of what's at stake while drawing inspiration from the cognizance that this country has thwarted Trump in the past and will likely do so again. Likely.
Likely. Probably. Greg Sargent in the Washington Post. Enough with all the fatalism about a Trump dictatorship. It's an interesting
piece.
Yeah,
you always overreacting.
Me? What? Crudy, I remember back on Brady Street in the days, you were concerned about what the police, Trump's police, marching down Brady Street and picking you and I up off for being the resistance, right? Was that kind of your mentality back then? What has changed?
Well, we're no longer resistance radio, literally. Yeah. We didn't brand the studio, and we are on the second floor. So, you know, rapid acquisition and handcuffing of us, at least I'd see him coming, Tom. I get the window.
So what changed? In your mind. I mean, I get this piece, and I actually thought it was...
What changed?
I think it's appropriate for, as many of these media outlets have done, is to specify, articulate, you know, project what would happen if Donald Trump got in and you know, followed through on everything that he says he's going to do. What would that look like? I think that's fair game to think about those things.
Well, I think we're a little beyond simple policy differences. What changed is 2020. Trump was defeated. He was defeated at the ballot box. He was defeated in the midterms. The overturning of Roe v. Wade has sparked an electorate. I mean, the Dobbs decision, look at the state of Wisconsin. Look at the spring Protasiewicz victory to the state Supreme Court. You question what changed? The electorate rose up and has rejected the stripping away of their personal rights, especially in the case of women and reproductive rights. But I don't think it's just that, man. I mean, I don't think it's just that. effectively Trump won through the eye of a needle against the candidate who maybe didn't run her strongest campaign in Hillary in 2016. And maybe there were some coordinating efforts from the Russians and others through social media push and whatever, but whatever the confluence of circumstance, he drew an inside straight on the river. You know what I mean? This was not a normal election. Even he was shocked he won. Wasn't even running to win. He was running for notoriety. So once we saw what Donald Trump looked like, the American people rose up resoundingly and rejected that by 81 million votes. I mean, he can talk about more votes for any incumbent president ever, 75 million. Yeah, but Joe Biden got 7 million more, 10% more votes. That's an ass whooping. So I would say that is the encouraging part. This only happens if people go to sleep at the switch. Now, there are states that are much more important. The state we live in, Dom, this is one of the important states. There's only like a handful that really decide the national election, sadly. Wisconsin's one of them. Arizona, maybe. Nevada. Georgia. Maybe North Carolina. But it's only going to be 5-6 states. Let's hope Michigan's solidly in the blue column. You never can tell. And Pennsylvania. Hell, Ohio's not even in play anymore. Ohio used to be the turning point. Now it's solidly red. So it really only matters what the citizens in a handful of states think. I mean, when you talk about the Electoral College. And we're here in one of these states now, so we'll kick ass and take names here. So, you know, I figure Trump's got to win like 3 or 4 states that I don't think he can win.
That's assuming, again, as Greg Sargent points out, that he's not convicted, which he very well may be.
Well, I think the conviction, if he is convicted, certainly on the federal charges, the January 6th, the March trial, the Chutkin trial that we've talked so much about, it's the only one I really, really care about. Because I think he could readily dismiss any sort of, I mean, he's already effectively been convicted of fraud in the New York trial. That's not affecting the man. If anything, it raised his poll numbers. And I think we all know that he stole some documents and went off to Mar-a-Lago with them. But so did Biden and so did Pence. And that somehow muddies the waters, I think.
No, that's those. But okay, but finish your point.
And you've got Eileen Cannon, a Trump appointee, who is doing her damnedest to make sure this trial does not go off before Election Day. So really, it comes down to Fulton County, Georgia. And Fannie Willis has said specifically, she can't wrap this thing up before the election. And there's the March trial. It really all comes down to the March trial, the January 6th trial, the Chutkin trial, the Jack Smith trial of Donald Trump and his co-conspirators. And if convictions are leveled against specifically Donald Trump, I think that gives them all the ammunition they need. He'll be blocked off the ballot in a handful of states at minimum. He won't electorally be able to get there from here if he is convicted. Now, the Republicans would have a hell of a mess on their hands, and I look forward to those days coming, Dom.
Yes, they do have a hell of a mess.
Because I think he's going to be their nominee on March 5th.
Prior to conviction.
And the trial starts, or at least is scheduled for March 4th. Something to speculate on. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. We always speculate this could be the greatest radio show ever. With your call, 844.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything. Helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people. A neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
It's also worth mentioning that Google has basically become a monopoly of the search engines.
We've never seen this before, where a company is just kind of like owning it. And like, yeah, we are, but what are you going to do?
That's no defense, by the way.
No.
You got nothing then.
What are they paying their attorneys? Hey, Google, search engine, how to find a good attorney.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, Locally Grown Radio.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy.
Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on Locally Grown Radio.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Finds Klesman left corner. He'll try a three. Good. Max Klesman is not shy here today.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Good taste to Klesman. Another three on the way. Good again. Takes the three left corner. He nailed it again. Max Klesman on fire. Timeout. Shaka Smart. Slips to Iguodaro. Bobbled it. Turnover. Here comes Hepburn. 2-on-1. Hestor to his right. The lob. The dunk. Hepburn to A.J. Storr for the flush, and the Badgers lead by 15.
Runs at the wall, rotates to Storr, baseline left. Here's A.J. goes up, slam dunk, count it, and a foul. And the Wisconsin Badgers knock off third-ranked Marquette as they storm the floor at the Kohl Center in Madison. On a day where the home team never trailed, the Badgers win it by 11.
On Wisconsin.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy overnight with a low of 24. Winds out of the west around 5 miles per hour. 37 tomorrow, overcast. Tomorrow night, lows around 28. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. Got Dom right here with me where he belongs. And the Mad Radio 92.7 FM Solidarity Realty Studios in Madison. You can join us here by dialing 844-967-2789. Dom, I know you try to keep the politicking outside of work to a minimum. Did you happen to catch Liz Cheney on the Rachel Maddow on the MSNBC last night?
No, I did not.
I don't know why I even asked. I should have just made that presumption. What were you doing last night, Don?
You know, Liz Cheney selling a book, man. You know, whatever.
Maybe she's selling small D democracy, is man.
That, yeah, well, good for her for cashing out, man. I mean, I appreciate her efforts on the January 6th, but I've heard from Liz Cheney.
Here are a couple of things she said last night. Headline here I found. Liz Cheney says Mike Johnson, you know, your buddy, the speaker.
Oh, yeah.
Was willing to do things he knew to be wrong for Donald Trump. She made that accusation last night. We got a little sound for the uninformed amongst us.
She made the accusation last night, right? This happened while Trump was still in office?
Well, now the guy's Speaker of the House, a little more pertinent.
Certainly. But what were she?
You can't go after every insurrectionist backbencher. I mean,
yes, you can. In fact, every single one of them, you can. But let's hear what
Dom missed last night. Well, I was doing the homework, doing the hard work for the show, and then Nate also did the hard work for the show. Got some clips together. What Dom does around here.
Look good, baby.
He drinks and he knows stuff. Play it for the people. Liz Cheney on the Rachel Maddow. Cut one, please.
But what I would say is, the way that I look at it is, those of us on the right
in this moment have a particularly great responsibility and duty because this threat has emerged from the right.
Yeah.
We can talk about why that was. I think that you know, frankly, there are millions of people around the country who feel like they aren't heard. And Donald Trump managed to convince